A psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thanks, Julie. Good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you before, my name's Paul James. I'm the acting senior minister here through until the end of January, when Andrew will be joining you as your new senior minister. Now, we have the kids in with us today. So Anna's coming around handing out some activity and drawing for you so that you'll be occupied while the boring old man up the front is talking. And for parents, please feel very, very comfortable. I'm used to speaking in all kinds of situations. I preach in an aged care setting, so I have all sorts of things being said during sermons. So be very comfortable that the kids are in with us today. Well, how comfortable or uncomfortable would you be if you knew that the person sitting alongside you this morning knew everything about you? Not just what you had for breakfast, not what you've done the last couple of days for Christmas, but they could see into your soul and knew everything about you. I wonder if you could turn to your right or your left right now and look that person right in the eye. Give it a go. Uncomfortable, isn't it? Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, everything laid bare, no excuses, every harsh word, every impure thought, every little white lie you've ever told. Well, how much more uncomfortable does it make you to think of that person sitting next to you as God, as your God, the one who does know everything about us? Jesus says even the number of hairs on your head, for some of us that's a bigger count than others. But we don't mind him knowing those kinds of things about us, do we? The number of hairs on our heads or the number of days that we have in this life, which he does. But it's the stuff that we wouldn't want him to know, the stuff we wouldn't want anyone to know, the things we're ashamed of or the things we regret. I heard a friend of mine say one time, if you could see into my mind, you would spit in my face. That's a harsh thing to think, isn't it? Well, the psalm that we're kicking off this summer psalm series with today, Psalm 139, is a psalm that tells us God is not only greater than we can ever imagine, which he is, that he knows everything that's going on in his world, which he does, that he's present everywhere in his creation, which he is, but it begins with, you have searched me and you know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. And before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Good news or bad? Well, that's what we're going to look at today as we explore this psalm. So how about I pray as we dive in? We thank you, our Father, for your word. We pray that your word is always for our encouragement to draw us near to you. And Father, we pray that you would do that today as we hear from this Psalm of David. We just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you would say today. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, most of us don't have a problem thinking about God knowing everything, being all-knowing. The theologians have come up with a word for it, omniscient, and the Bible is full of those verses that tell us about God's omniscience. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Or Psalm 33, verse 13, "From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth." But God doesn't just know everything, he knows everyone. He knows every one of us and everything about us in a way that no one else does. He knows us personally in a way that no one else does. So when you think about someone who knows you or that you know, they can know things about you because you've chosen to tell them. They might know the kind of music that you like to listen to or your favourite movie. Your best friends might know the things that have happened in your life that have made you sad or the things that have made you happy, all because you've chosen to share those things with them. And not the things that you don't want to share with them. But the psalm is saying to us that God searches our hearts and he knows every thought, every word that comes to our lips before we've even spoken it. He knows the heart and the mind of every person that he's ever made. He doesn't need to wait for us to tell him about it. And that's a scary thought. I find it a scary thought when I think of some of the things that go through my mind from time to time. Like if I get angry or frustrated with somebody, I start writing the script in my mind about what I'm going to say to them the next time I see them and give them peace of my mind. And they're not always helpful words. And God knows those words, even though I might never speak them. He holds our whole life story in his mind. David writes this psalm in this psalm that God has known us since before we were conceived. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? In verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So we think of God as creating this great universe, but he knitted you together. He knows you intimately. He knows every part of you. And every day of each of our lives was set out by God before we drew our first breath, from the first day until the last. In verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God knows us better than anyone, better than any of our friends, better than we even know ourselves. And every detail of the story of our lives, from the day we were conceived to today and every day coming until we draw our last breath. Do you feel a little bit uncomfortable with that? Do you feel like God, you'd rather God wasn't aware of some of the things that have floated through your mind, or some of the things that you've said or done? So if we're honest with ourselves, it's probably a natural reaction to think, I wouldn't like that. That's not a good thought for me. And on top of that, we live our whole lives in the presence of God. Verse 7 asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? It's not just that God is everywhere, it's that we can't escape him. We can't escape his personal presence. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And if God knows every thought and word, there'll be times when we'll want to be able to run and hide, that we won't want him to be right there. It's hard to see it as anything but bad news, isn't it? But David doesn't seem to be saying this is bad news. That isn't the theme of this psalm. The fact that he lives his life in the presence of God 24/7 seems to be a comfort to him and not something that he fears. And if we know anything about David's life from the Old Testament, you can start to think, well, aren't there things that he wouldn't want God to know? But he's aware that God's everywhere, that he knows every thought that's ever crossed his mind, the good and the bad. He knows that God's even heard the words he's never spoken. And he knows that none of these things were ever hidden from God. In verses 19 to 22, we can see why he would have every reason to think that this would be bad news for him and for us. And it's not just because it would be embarrassing. It's because those who do evil deserves God's judgment, God's anger. Verse 19, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. It's a bit of a jarring verse in the psalm. Everything up until then seems like it's okay. But then he switches to this, if only you would slay the wicked. But for David, as he wrote, he knew that he was numbered among the wicked. He recognised that he deserved to be slain, along with the rest of humanity, for our godlessness in our thoughts and words and deeds. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he made it clear that anger at a brother or sister was as bad as murder and as much under the judgment of God. That anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her in his heart and is deserving of judgment. The point that Jesus was making and continued to make was that we deserve God's judgment because of the evil that's in here, that's in our hearts, regardless of how that makes its way out into our words and deeds. Our sin infects every thought and every inclination of our hearts. And this psalm is so clear that God knows everything that's inside our hearts. And what he sees is everything that's making us deserving of his judgment. And yet, this truth seems to be such a comfort and a blessing to David as he wrote the psalm. Why? Where's the good news here? Well, it's this, that the God that we read about in this psalm, the God who knows everything about us, the God from whom we can't escape, the God who judges sin, is the God who loves us and who leads those who trust in him to eternal life, which is where David takes the psalm to its end. In verses 23 and 24, he literally leads us in prayer at the end of this psalm. The psalm began with the words, "O Lord, you have searched me," and it concludes asking God to search him, to search us, and to uncover every trace of evil and sin in our lives. He invites God in to expose everything that he knows that he can't hide from God. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." My dad had a great old expression for how you should service a car, that you should go in through the radiator cap and come out the exhaust pipe. Don't miss anything on the way through. Make sure you uncover everything that's wrong with it in order to put it right. Well, that's what David's praying for here. To go in through the radiator cap and out through the exhaust pipe of our lives and uncover everything that's wrong and that needs to be fixed. Dear God, expose all the sin that I realize I could never hide from you, and fix it for me. Lead me in the life everlasting. And there's the good news, friend. That God's purpose in exposing the sin in our every thought, word, and deed is to show us the desperate state of our sinful hearts and the judgment that we're facing, so that we will turn and trust in him for forgiveness and eternal life. And that's the way everlasting that David is talking about in the final verses of this psalm. So even though we live all of our lives in his presence, even though he sees and knows everything that we think or say or do, that we don't treat him the way we should, that we don't treat each other the way we should, and that we rightly deserve his judgment, well, the way everlasting isn't to hope God hasn't seen it, to hope God hasn't noticed, or that we can somehow hide it from him. The way eternal is through faith in God's love and in his mercy, as he sees us exactly as we are. And the love and mercy that David trusted in and looked forward to is the love and mercy that has been made known to us in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. Not like an outsider, not like someone we have to make things known to. Jesus, the Son of God, came at the first Christmas and entered into our human existence so that he knows what it's like to be one of us, to be tempted in every way and yet be without sin. And he came to deal with God's rightful anger at people like us who don't love him and each other as we should. And he did that by dying on the cross for us. Friends, when we trust in Jesus, we invite God to begin going through our lives from radiator cap to exhaust pipe, to uncover all the things in our lives that show us our need for Jesus and our need for his death on the cross for us. And that's something that God will continue to do throughout our lives, progressively, as he speaks into our lives through his word and by the power of his spirit. He will continue to uncover for us the areas where we see even more how much we need what he did for us on the cross. And at the same time, we become more aware of the extent of the love, the mercy, and the grace of God in Jesus when we see more and more how much we need him to deal with our sin. So the way everlasting that David prays for God to lead him into is the way of trusting more deeply in God's love and mercy and grace, and never getting to the point where we say, there's nothing left to hide, because that won't be true this side of the grave. And as we get older, the more we are conscious of our sin, the more we become more deeply grateful to God for what he has done for us in Jesus. So it's through faith in Jesus alone that God saves us from his rightful judgment on all our sin. Through faith in his work on the cross, God forgives every sin of our sinful hearts. And so, like David, we need not fear God knowing everything about us. Indeed, it should be our comfort to know that he does know everything about us and yet loves us so much that he sent Jesus to bring that forgiveness for every sinful thought, word, and deed. There's no point trying to hide, and there's no need to try and hide or excuse our sin when we believe and trust the good news. So as we prepare to begin a new year, may God continue to lead us in the way everlasting, the way of faith in the good news of Jesus, in his death and resurrection. And let us live confidently in the knowledge that he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows us for our good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do know us better than we know ourselves, and Father, that you do search our hearts and reveal to us the depth of our need for your forgiveness, your love, and your grace. Father, we thank you that through trusting in the way everlasting, through faith in Jesus, that we have forgiveness for every sinful thought, word, and deed. Father, instead of trying to hide, let us continue to confess our sins, repent, and believe in Jesus, who has come to give his life as the ransom for them all. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.